Life Women's Conference in St. Louis, Missouri, September 25th through the 27th. Register today.
Thanks again for listening today. And to order today's offer, just head to our website or call. Until next time, remember, glorify God and enjoy Him forever. This is the key to enjoying everyday life.
WCNO's broadcast day is underwritten by Krause & Crane Incorporated, celebrating 50 years of air conditioning service to the Martin County area. Since 1957, Krause & Crane certified technicians have serviced all makes and models of air conditioners and provides an energy savings agreement for any commercial or residential need. Krause & Crane, the service and replacement specialist with over 50 years of experience, is available 24 hours for emergency service at 287-1227.
Welcome to On to Perfection, the radio ministry of Resurrection Life Family Worship Center. I'm Trevor Banks, and I'm glad you've joined us for today's broadcast, and I trust you'll be blessed by the message.
With all my heart.
Jericho thought they were feeble, defenseless, ill-equipped Jews. But oh, when they finished their devotion. Come on, see, sometimes you get blessed and then you slack up on your devotion. When you build a bigger house, be sure you give God more praise. When your business starts flourishing, you be sure you acknowledge God and give Him the glory. Hello? When things start flooding your life and you know it's the favor of God, don't forget God. As a matter of fact, make more time for God. Tell you how you keep the spirit of faith operating in your life. Amen. So, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The word simply means, and you've heard me say it before, the word confession or profession means homologeia. It means to say the same thing. To say the same thing. The Lord is saying to us, say the same thing that I am saying. We are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You need knowledge concerning all aspects of your life. What is God saying about your health? What is God saying about your finances? What is God saying about you as an individual? What is He saying about your ministry, about your gift, about your marriage, about your children? What does God? I'm not talking about what it looks like or what condition it might be in or how rebellious they might be or any of that. I'm saying, what is God saying about it? Okay, homologeo means you take on and you begin to say what God is saying. And it looks like when you start saying that, they rebel more. Or it gets more out of sorts. But keep saying what God is saying. Because after a while, you develop a spirit of faith. And after a while, you start knowing this has got to happen. This has got to happen. It has come to pass. There's nothing can stop this from happening. When that happens on the earth, what has already been wrought in heaven begins to manifest in the earth realm. God needs an instrument. Your efforts are His instruments. It's in heaven. It's already complete. But to bring it into manifestation here, God needs a vessel. God needs a mind. God needs a man, a woman, that will say what He's saying, that will stand on the word, that will believe in their heart and the spirit of faith. Amen? Then, wherever the sole of your feet treads, God says, I've given that to you as an inheritance. Think about it a moment. He said, wherever. Come on, somebody say, wherever. That means wherever God leads me, wherever my life goes, I'm going to dominate in that situation. Come on, I'm going to be the head in that situation and not the tail. Amen. There's nobody going to be able to close doors in my face. Not for long anyway. Amen. No weapon formed against me is going to be able to prosper. God said, wherever you go, if you carry the spirit of faith wherever you go, I've given that to you as an inheritance. The earth belongs to the Lord and the fullness thereof, and all they that therein are. All souls are mine, saith the Lord. The gold and the silver is mine. The cattle on the thousand hills are mine. He said, wherever. Somebody say, wherever. Stop thinking God just going to bless you in some little corner somewhere. Wherever the sole of your feet tread. See, that last aspect of salvation is soundness. Paul wrote to Timothy and said, Timothy, we've not received the spirit of fear, the spirit of timidity, the spirit of cowardice, the spirit of shyness. You might have been shy in the world, but amen, that's not who you are over here. Amen. You might not be as loud as the person next to you, but I'm talking about shy, afraid to do what God says do. See, that ain't right. It's one thing to not talk as much as somebody else. That may be your personality. But when it comes to doing what God wants you to do, when it comes to being what God wants you to be, you can't be shy. Can't be afraid what people are going to think about you. They already thinking about you. Afraid of what people are going to think. Forget what they think. They don't have heaven or hell to put you in. They can't bless you like God. They don't have the money you need. Amen. They can't open the door you need to get through. Why are you afraid of them? Why are you afraid of their face? Why are you afraid of their words? The Lord told Ezekiel, fear not their words. Don't be afraid of their faces. I've made your forehead like a flint. You need to be able to look people in the eye. And see, when you have faith in your heart and it's in your mouth, you ain't wavering. You have integrity. You're not saying one thing and believing something else. You're not believing one thing and then saying something else. No, you say what you see is what you get. Hello? You need to speak what you mean. See, that spirit of shyness. See, he's not giving us the spirit of fear. Fear will cause you to back off. You know what you're believing for, but you don't want to say it because people will think, oh, you're crazy. It'll never happen. Forget that. Come on, tell somebody, forget that. You better get folks out of your head and find out what God is saying to you so that you can start speaking that. You don't know what he has around the corner. You don't know who he's already talking to. You don't know where it's coming from. Hello? It can be waiting on you for tomorrow. That's how God works. It's easy for him to get us stuff, but can he get you? It ain't even what you have that he wants. He wants you. He wants to be housed in you. He wants you, that sanctuary, that place where he can rest, where he can abide there, not just visit you on Sunday and Wednesday. Don't shout me down. It's true. The issue is not even what God can get to us or do for us. It's about us and the nature of Christ being formed in us till we look like him. We walk like him. We talk like him. Let me take it a little further. Till he walks in us. Till he manifests through us. When people hear us, they hear Jesus. When they're around us, they sense the presence of God. When they hear us talk, they hear his voice. When they look on our countenance, they see his face. Oh, that God wants to transform us, not be conformed to the world, but transform. Let the word see, and it takes looking into the word. We have to behold his glory. If you're going to be transformed by him, you have to behold his glory. If you look at something long enough, you're going to start looking like it. I worked with a railroad press. I don't know if any of you know what it is, but it's a perforating company. And this gentleman that ran it for years and years, I just ran it for about a year before I moved on, but he moved like he was part of the machine. I noticed that. You know, he was a very patient guy. You had to, you know, certain things you had to do, a lot of different things you had to do with that. And he would move like the machine would. You know, he started up and then he'd have to flip something over here and then And he moved it up. But he moved, and even when he got away from there with his lunch, going to lunch, he walked like the machine. He'd been working the machine for so many years, he was part of the machine. See, if you occupy yourself, and I'm telling you, this is a trick of the devil to get us occupied with everything but God, but the things of God. Leave God to Sunday. Don't bring God into this. You need to put God in everything. And I don't mean in a foolish, carnal, sensual type of way. I mean, he should be governing our lives in everything. Everything we do ought to be premeditated and calculated in God first. Tell somebody, make God your business partner. Talk to him before you make big decisions. Don't just go after something because there's a dollar sign next to it. Let God be your business partner. Amen. All right, let's move on here. Remember, there are three choices in every situation that we come upon. Three choices we can make. Number one, we can have a positive scriptural confession about it. Sometimes we have to ride that horse. You know, when you don't, you know, when the situation's not good and you come up on it and it's like it left an egg on your face, you can go to Romans 8:28 and say, well, you know what? For we know that all things work together. I don't understand this, but we know. Somebody say, we know. That all things work together for the good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. You may understand it later, but at that particular time, you can have a positive scriptural confession, or you can have no confession. You ain't saying nothing. Guess what? When you don't say anything, you are left. Now listen, this is very important. When you don't say anything about it, you are left as a victim of the circumstance. You are subjecting yourself to a circumstance. A positive scriptural confession. How many know God is able to work all things together? When your confession is that of a positive scriptural confession, you release, listen, the ministry of the high priest. You release his ministry to help meet whatever need it is. Amen. Remember, Hezekiah. Isaiah was sent to Hezekiah. He said, get your house in order, for the Lord says he's taking you home. You're going to die. He was sick with a disease. But the moment Isaiah left, Hezekiah went and faced the wall. And he began to petition God and say, Lord, you know that I've been faithful, that I've governed in righteousness and integrity, so on and so forth. Have mercy upon me. In other words, he didn't just accept dying. And then he didn't start talking negatively. He petitioned God. He spoke words. And before Isaiah got out of the courtyard, God spoke to him and said, go back and tell the king that I've added 15 years to his life. Are you hearing? He invoked the ministry of the high priest. See, everything don't have to end like it's been ending. Whether you realize or not, you have a voice in it. There's some stuff you can overturn.
We are continuing in part 17 of The Faith Crisis, Pulling Down Strongholds, part 2. 1 John 5:4 states, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Every spiritual battle is rooted in one of three things. That is your flesh, the world, and the devil. All those things start with a thought in your mind. That is the origin of your stronghold. The devil and his cohorts are watching and waiting for you to step out of proper alignment. They are waiting for you to murmur and complain. Guess what? When you do, you open the door for them to walk right through and start to get you thinking like him. Walk in faith. Take authority and dominion over your thoughts and watch the promises of God manifest in your life.
Thank you for listening to today's message. And for more information or more messages from On to Perfection, call toll-free 1-877-TR-BANKS or visit our website at trbanks.com. And always remember, God will perfect that which concerns you.